World War One on the BBC.
Children of Alsace, after years of waiting, French soldiers are treading the fresh soil of your noble country. They are the first steps in the great work of revenge. Vive la France! Vive l'Alsace!
The 8th of August. The French are at last making up for their defeat in the Franco-Prussian War, 43 years ago. They capture the town of Mulhouse in their lost province of Alsace. The Minister for War, Adolphe Messimy, congratulates the army.
I am firmly convinced that the remainder of the campaign will bring us success which will exceed that of today.
They will, in fact, be forced to retreat by a German counterattack the next day. In Britain, the labour movement and both sides in the Irish Home Rule dispute have put their demands aside for the sake of the war effort. But that leaves the suffragettes, who have been bitterly opposed to the government. Many of them are still in prison.
Whilst women political prisoners are being forcibly fed, there is no course open to the Union but to continue to fight for their release.
Mrs. Pankhurst's Women's Social and Political Union offers a way forward.
The Union calls upon the government to take such steps in the hour of this national crisis that the united front of which they speak may become a reality.
3 days later, the Home Secretary, Reginald McKenna, will release all the suffragette prisoners.
How long will the war last?
Like many in the country, the observer is wondering how long the fighting will go on. Most expect that it will be short and decisive, like the wars of the 19th century.
Our reasons for thinking that 6 months should see the end of it are chiefly economic. The cost is stupendous now, and for Germany, we believe will soon be found to be insupportable.
The White Star liner Oceanic arrives at Southampton. It has been pursued across the Atlantic by German warships.
In the saloon, there were American millionaires coming to Europe for pleasure, Austrian, German, and English Navy and Army officers homeward bound, and American newspaper men rushing to the firing line. In steerage, there was practically a regiment of Serbian infantrymen from the Midwest and Irishmen who, when they sailed, thought they were going to fight for an Ireland once again, but who, when they heard war had been declared, wanted to fight for England.
On board, the old peacetime courtesies have still been observed.
There was one trying moment at dinner when a German, opening a bottle of champagne, raised his glass and drank to the dear brave hearts at home who are fighting for a world imperial Germany. The incident was quietly ignored by the British.
As the Oceanic arrives, it passes another ship, the explorer Sir Ernest Shackleton's The Endurance. The war has thrown his mission to explore the Antarctic into doubt. Shackleton offers the ship and his crew to the war effort. The First Lord of the Admiralty, Winston Churchill, replies in a one-word telegram.
Proceed.
2 years later, on the 20th of May 1916, Shackleton will finally return from Antarctica after a harrowing journey in an open boat. His first question is who won the war. As he asks it, preparations are being made in Europe for a new offensive. It will be known as the Battle of the Somme. Thank you for downloading this program from the BBC. For more information, go to bbc.co.uk/ww1.